But while you turn into Romans 12, you know, I want to read something out of John 10. And I'm going to start at verse 9. I am the door. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they may have it more abundantly. We know the enemy will come, kill, steal, and destroy. That's his job, and he's good at it. He's been doing it for thousands and thousands of years. He's excellent at it. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a slanderer. He's a destroyer. That's what he does. That's his mission. But thank God we have a Savior, and his name is Jesus. That he is here to save us. Not only just from hell, but each and every day. And this is what he said. He says, and I come that they may have life. Not only life, and they may have it more abundantly. Not just abundantly, but more abundantly. I believe that the church is not living in that abundant life today. You know, I see so many things that's going on within the body of Christ, and even with myself. You know, because I'm part of the church also. You know, that there's things that goes on in our life. You know, the adversities, all the different things that happen within our lives, that we're not living that abundant life. We should be the most joyous people in the world, the most loving people in the world. But we have issues, don't we? Yes, we do. We have issues. But Jesus says, I've overcome those issues. I've overcome the world. I want to give you life more abundant. So how do we live that abundant life? That song we just sang. Lord, let not the fire of the altar never go out. Some of us, you know, we used to have a real bright burning fire. But as the things in life, you know, some of things personally, our government, our world, instead of having that big hot flame, got a little bitty light. Still saved, absolutely. But we're not living that life more abundantly. And I'm speaking to myself also. You know, a lot of times, you know, I let the cares of the world, you know, the things that happen, you know, within my family and myself and all that there, you know, and I kind of lose focus. Amen. I'm just talking to me. Probably none of y'all. Kind of lose focus sometimes. But I'm here to tell you today that if you want an abundant life, if you want the flames to get hotter and hotter and hotter, we have to do better and better and better, church. Not just on Sundays. Not just on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Not just when we're in peril or need something. But every day. Every day. So Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is Apostle Paul talking, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That beseech means I'm begging you. This is something serious that I'm telling you. That you present your body a living sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice is something that is given for a reason. Jesus was a sacrifice, right? He just didn't down that cross just because he wanted to, did he? There was a reason for the sacrifice. So there's a reason that Paul is saying present our bodies as a living sacrifice. There's a reason for that. It says holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul is saying, in order to live that life more abundantly, we got to sacrifice something. It's going to cost you something. You know, the scripture says, count the cost. Count the cost. What is it going to cost you, me, Pastor? It's going to cost you everything. Everything. So are we willing to give everything? That's the key. Or are we just willing to do it on Sundays when we're in need, when we're in want? Or are we doing it every day? And we're doing it all day. Present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is reasonable, to be not conformed to this world. The sacrifice is not to be conformed to this world. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, he said, deny yourself. Deny yourself what? The things of the world, the worldly things. So deny yourself, pick up your cross, not my cross, not Joey's cross, not Brother Priest's cross, not Sister Sue's cross. Pick up your own cross. We all have an individual cross to bear. Do you know that? Pick up your cross. And then he says, and follow me. You know, when Jesus was on his way to Golgotha, he was carrying his cross, across his shoulder. It was a heavy cross, wasn't it? And the cross represents death. It's death is what the cross was invented for, a cruel and a long, drawn out death. But the final thing was death. Picking up our cross, sacrificing everything that is unholy in our lives, everything that is against the will and the ways of God. And it says we have to do that daily. Now, I'm not talking about getting saved every day. No, I'm not. You know, salvation, you know, it happens to us when we yield our life to Jesus Christ. But, you know, after salvation, the Bible says, work out your salvation. Every day. And the enemy, once again, as we heard, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's there every day, all day long, after us. You know, we come and we make vows, we make confessions, and we make promises and all of this here. But then all of a sudden, we look around and we break those promises, don't we? We break those vows, don't we? Yes. How can we live a life more abundant? A constant life of holiness and righteousness. Now, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all are going to make wrong choices and bad decisions. We all going to do that. Amen. But there comes a point in our lives when we need to say, enough is enough, Satan. Enough is enough, Satan. So how can we keep that fire on my altar that never burn out? I'm glad you asked me. First of all, we have to present our bodies a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable to God. Not acceptable to me. Not acceptable to your husband or your wife. But acceptable to God and God only. His ways. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about the plumb line. You know, and I didn't realize what a plumb line was years ago, but I understand now. It's, you know, a carpenter or somebody who's in construction. There's a string. And on the end of the string, there's a weight. So the weight will make the string straight. Amen? The weight will make the string straight. And so when you go to do things, to be able to put walls in or doorways or whatever, you know, you have to have it straight. And it's the same thing with our lives. We have to have it straight, that straight way. The Bible says there's a broad way that many are on, but it says there's a narrow straight way that few find. We have to live that straight way. Amen. And in order to do that, we have to give up something. What do I have to give up, Pastor? We have to give up your life. if you truly want to serve God, if you truly want it to be acceptable to God, we have to live the ways of the Word of God, not the ways of man, not the ways of the government, not the ways of the world, but the ways of God only. You know, Elder said, you know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. But so many times people want to try to skirt around and jump over and crawl under and all of that kind. No, 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 that ain't going to happen. And not get you to heaven. Now, let's go to the book of Leviticus. I like that name, Leviticus. I like saying the name of Leviticus. Leviticus 6. Leviticus 6, and I'm going to start in verse 8. When you get to say amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering was the sin offering. You see, they had to go every day, twice a day, to have an offering for sin. Now, this is Old Testament. And it says, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night and until morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Let me read that again. Command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. So what he's saying is that that altar that they used back in the Old Testament, you know, there had to be a sacrifice to be upon that altar. You can't sacrifice nothing if it's not on the altar. So they would have animals. They would have animals that they would kill morning and night because they sacrifice morning and night. But he says, I want that fire to always be ready. You hear what I'm saying? I want that fire on that altar to always be ready for that sacrifice. And see, then, back then, the sacrifice, the animals that they put on there, it wasn't for them to consume and eat. It was for that fire on the altar to consume that sacrifice. And when the fire consumed the sacrifice, there was smoke that went up. And it was a sweet smell to God because it was representing the sacrifices was for sin, the sins of the nation. So they had to do it morning and night. But God says, I want you, in between that time, I still want that altar to be hot. I still want that altar to have fire on it. Then in verse 10, and the priest shall put on their linen garments, and his linen breeches shall he put on his flesh. So back then, you just couldn't come to the altar with just anything. They had garments that they had to wear especially for the sacrifices. These are priests now, wasn't everyday people. They had special things that they put on every day in order to honor God. You just couldn't come in with everyday ordinary clothes on, not the priest. And it says that, and the priest shall put in his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put on his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire has consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. So, you know, when you burn something, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, we had a coal furnace. And after you burn the coal, you know, there was ashes in the furnace. And part of my chores was when I was a kid, I'm thinking maybe I would have to go down and I would have to shovel them ashes and get them out of the furnace to make room for what was that coal that was going to be burned later on. You hear what I'm saying? I had to get away the residue. And that's what the priest said. God told the priest, get away the residue of sin so it could be open for more residue to come every day. Every day, every morning, and every night. You had to clean out those ashes so other ashes could come later on. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? There's things that we do throughout the day that you know that it might not be pleasing to God. We need to get rid of those ashes. We need to get rid of those things that that we've been delivered of. The things that is not of God. The things that we're doing. The mindsets that we have. Remember what it says in Romans? Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In order for our minds to be renewed, we got to get away, get that clutter that's in there. Them cobwebs, the old stinking thinking, all the things that, shouldn't be in there. Amen? I'm going to say this. If we have aught against another brother or sister in the Lord, it's not of God. I'm going to say that again. If we have aught against a brother or a sister in the Lord, that is not of God. Who you think that's putting that aught in you? Because God says we're to be united. We're to be one. Amen? One family. Now, yes, we have disagreements and we have arguments. Absolutely, we do. But it's not an ought. You know, when you have ought, you know, you got something negative in your mind, maybe even in your heart, about another brother or sister in the Lord. God hates disunity. He hates discord amongst the brother. Ain't that what the Bible says? So if we have that, and let me tell you something. I believe that we all have had it one time or another. If we still ain't got it, I don't know. I know in as I was a Christian, you know I had some ought against quite a few brothers and sisters in the Lord. I ain't gonna lie to you. You know, because of one thing or another. I can't think of it now. But, you know, it was sometimes I would go to church or whatever, and so I'd see somebody, and I'd turn my head. Didn't even want to acknowledge it. Didn't want to say good morning or hello, because I had something in my heart against this person. Or that person has something against me. You know, I'm going to say it. We went to a Promise Keepers meeting. It's been 20-30 years ago, maybe 20-25 years, and we had a big bus that a whole bunch of us went, you know, and it was over a million men at that Promise in DC. And so as we were coming back on the bus, it was a brother in the Lord that I've been knowing for a long time. We was in the same church for a long time. He turned around, looked at me, he says, would you please forgive me? And I'm looking at him, I'm thinking, well, what'd you do to me? He said, you didn't do nothing. He said, but when I was in the army, I had two black guys that beat me up. And I hated black people from that time. And he says, and when you came to the church, I hated you too. I had no idea. No idea. You know, that was this man's mindset. I know he was a little standoffish with me and everything else, you know. But I had no idea that he had a hatred for me. But when we went to that meeting, and there was a time when everybody, all the million men, prostrated ourselves on the ground, on that ground, and we prayed, something changed within that man. All these years, and he was in World War II, all these years, he had hatred in his heart and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, at that time, I was the only tall one in the church. But from that time on, me and him, we had formed a bond, a love for one another, a respect for one another. And to be honest with you, I, too, had problems with some people. Amen. I ain't gonna lie. I had problems with some people. You know, after I was a believer. But, you know, and I had to work through it. I had to work through it. I had to deal with it. Because the Bible says that we're one nation under God, a holy priesthood, a peculiar people. Amen? That we're to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, and to love our who? Our neighbor as ourselves. Now, how can I love God with everything if I can't stand you? Come on, church. Come on, church. This is a time of reflection, a time of really searching ourselves to see where we are. That's why a lot of us are not living that abundant life. Because of some of the junk that we got in us. That flame has been smothered, has been quenched. Because we might have ought against somebody else. Or we allow the world, the things of the world. Do you know there's people in this church right here today that if you are on one side of the aisle, on the other side of the aisle, you don't like each other. Because one is on one side of the aisle and the other one's on the other side of the aisle. But yet we're supposed to be Christians, right? Huh? Yeah, ain't nobody said too much about that. Regardless on what side of the aisle that you're on, we need to love one another. Amen? I might not agree with you on what side of the aisle you're on, but I'm going to love you. And if you ain't on my side, I'm going to pray for you. No. Amen? Praise the Lord. But listen to what the Word of God says. And this is the good one. Verse 11. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp into a clean place. What he's saying is, they would have had a certain garment they would put on when they went to sacrifice. But when that ashes, those defiled things, those things that are not good, they had to take off the one and put on something else to take these ashes out and put them where they should be doing. You know, you just can't, they couldn't wear the same thing to do everything that God had called them to do. They had to take off things to deal with the pollution, the residue of the world. Then it says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. Let me read that again. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. While they're taking out the garbage, the ashes, that fire is still burning continuously. And it says, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn therein the fat of the peace offering. And verse 13. And the fire should never be burning, and the fire should ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never, ever go out. So it was a continual fire to consume the sin offering. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes what we do, what me, I ain't gonna say you, what I do, my fire gets a little, like a little candle wick. Amen. It don't go out, but it gets to be like a little candle instead of a raging fire. I don't know about you, but I want mine to be white hot. I want my fire to be able to burn up everything that is not of God. Everything that comes on me and in me in my life every day, every morning and every night, Lord, burn it up. Burn it up. I don't want it, Lord, because all I want is you. All I want is all of you, Lord. Lord, you must increase in my life and I must decrease every day. Every day. I pray that. Lord, you must increase in my life and I must decrease every day. But it's easier said than done, isn't it? Because we allow the enemy. Because the enemy can't come at you unless you allow him. You know that. And the ultimate thing is, he can't come after you unless God allows him to come after you. Why do you think God allows the enemy to come at us so much? Huh? Now we're kind of getting it, ain't we? Mm-hmm. See, we need to keep that fire burning all the time. Well, how do I keep it burning, Pastor? I'm glad you asked me. Our devotions, our spending time with God. You know, somebody asked me here the other day, well, it's been a couple of weeks ago, said, Pastor, why don't you come to the movie nights and some of the other things that the churches have? You know, and my thing was, and this is something every day that I try to do, I need to spend more time with God than I do with you. Do you understand me? Not only you, but anybody else. So the free time that I have is not that I don't like y'all. Not that I don't want to be in your company. But I'd much rather be in the company of God. Because if I'm not in the company of God more than I am with you, let me tell you something, it ain't going to be good for some of y'all. Amen? I haven't used foul language in many, 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 many years. But if I don't spend my time with God, I'm going to leave that alone. Amen. I got to spend, and not only I, you have to spend time with God also. Now, I know that you have families, you have works and things that you have to do. Absolutely, you do. But we have to spend time with God. That's what keeps that fire raging. Our time in the Word of God. In our prayer closets with the door shut, where we shut out the world, that we shut out things that should not be happening. And I told y'all many, many times, I'll be in my prayer closet, you know, and I'm single and I live alone, but I have a closet that I go in and I shut the door because nobody's in my house. Well, Alexa, but she don't say nothing until I say something to her. I'm going to leave that one alone because I got in trouble behind that before. Anyway, I get into the closet and I shut out the noise of the world. But there's times when I'm in the closet and I'm praying and I'm seeking the Lord. And all of a sudden, thoughts come into my head that is not of God. Trust me, that is not of God. And so what I have to do, I have to stoke that fire. Amen. You got to stoke the fire. I don't really know how to, you know, do a fire. You know, a place that I grew up at, High Breeze, they used to have a pastor's place where just pastors go, nobody else. And they had a beautiful wood-burning stove in there. And I didn't know how to use it. You know, and for those of you who know, you know, up there at High Braze, in the wintertime, they get 100 feet of snow up there. They get more snow than any place else in America, up there in Redfield in the winter. So I'm up there in this place, me and God, and I'm shivering. But I got a stove right here, and I got wood over here that could take that coldness out of me. But you know what? I didn't know how to do it. And I asked Jeff Andrews, he'd been here to preach. He's the caretaker of that. I said, Jeff, I said, how do I get the stove to going? So he said, I'm going to show you. And he put the wood in there. And then he put the little kindling in there. And then he put the little paper in there, you know. And you take the match and you strike the match, you know. And he says, leave the door for a minute till it starts again. He said, but then you got to turn this knob here. Then you got to turn this level over here. He said, if you don't, you're going to burn the whole place down. So he left out. The fire was going great. I mean, it was going great. And I'm throwing wood in the fire. You know, I'm like, praise the Lord. This is wonderful, wonderful. But the next day, when the fire went out, the stove was still here. The wood is still here. But I forgot about these levers. But the only thing that I remember is if you don't do this right, it's going to burn the place down. So here I am again. I got the things that I need to keep me warm, but I forgot what he said to do it to keep me warm. Amen. Sometimes we forget, don't we? Sometimes we forget to stoke the fire up until it gets to a point where we're in apparel. We're in spots that, oh God, I need you. I've always been here. But you let that flame go down. You know that you should have been doing devotions in the morning before you get up to work. But you sleep that extra 15 minutes. Don't we? And the church got quiet. Praise the Lord. And then we whine and whine and whine. Oh God, oh God, oh God. You haven't been stoking that fire. We haven't been putting the things to burn up those sacrifices. And what is a sacrifice? It says present your body as a sacrifice. Amen. But you know what happens? You know, that altar is hot because there's fire up under the altar. Amen. What we do is not what I do. I ain't gonna say you. I get on the altar. I'm like, all right, Lord. You know, I'm ready to just live for you. I'm ready to just be in your presence and just, Lord, take me, make me, break me. And I get up on the altar, and then when those flames get hotter, I crawl back off of it. Like, woo, woo, Lord, it's too hot. It's too hot, Lord. Instead of picking up my cross and following Jesus. Amen. Get on the altar. Then when it get too hot, I crawl off the altar. But see, Jesus didn't crawl off the altar, did he? He was that last sacrifice. And he stayed. He stayed. Amen. And the reason he stayed, because it was the Father's will. It was the Father's wishes. This is what the Father wanted, not what Jesus wanted, not what the disciples wanted. It was what God wanted. And he wants us to never let the fire go out. Some of us need to start stoking it more. Now, once again, coming to church is good, but that's just part of it. Coming to Bible study is good, but that's just part of it. You see, we need to do this every day, all day long. That fire is upon the altar and it's hot. And we need to get ourselves on that altar to burn off every residue and everything that is not of God. As we go through this, the days of the world and we're doing our daily things, don't you know that residue of the world gets on us? That's why that in the old days, they would wash the people's feet that were coming to their house. They would wash your feet that were coming to your house. That was a thing that everybody did. You know why? Because back then, the streets and the roads that they had, everybody used them and everything used them. Amen. The cattle, the camels, the horses, everything used the same roads that they walked on. So as they're walking on these roads, they got residue. They got residue. And you don't bring the residue into the house. You wash your feet. And they had servants that would wash the people's feet so they could walk in the people's house with a clean feet. You hear what I'm saying? And the way that we wash is by the word of God, about our time spending with him, the time of devotion with him, and loving one another. Even if they get on your nerve, love one another. Be there, respect one another, regardless of what this person is doing or not doing, regardless of what they believe or what they don't believe, who they vote for, who they don't vote for. I'm so sick of that, I don't know what to do. Sick of it. It's one of the biggest devices of Satan in this country. It's worse than the Civil War. You know, because they had families fighting against each other, killing each other. And it's going on today, the year of our Lord, 2023. Let that not be in your life and in my life. Amen. You know, another thing that will distinguish the fire also is by the things or what things that we look at, what things that we listen to, places that we go, what we allow in our lives. It would distinguish the flames. All of those things that is not of God needs to be consumed, because our God is a what? A consuming fire. But will you let him? Will you let him? That's the key to it. Back here, back then, the animals were killed. They couldn't get off the altar. And guess what? We should die to self. We should die to self. And if we got to do it every day, all day long, let's do it. Because let me tell you something. When we stand before Jesus, we're going to have to give an account for every idle word and every idle deed that we do. You hear what I'm saying? We're going to have to stand before Jesus and give an account for everything that we've done and not done. Everything that we've said and didn't say. When you knew somebody was going down the wrong road or living like they shouldn't have been living, and we don't say nothing about it. We don't do nothing about it. You know, it's like somebody bullying somebody and you just stand back and look and don't address it. You just as guilty as the bully. You hear what I'm saying? You just as guilty as the bully. Now, I'm not saying that we have to go out here and be the Long Ranger, you know, and you know, all that. But I'm saying when we see wrong, we need to address it in love. Now, when we know somebody might need some prayer, need some encouragement, you know, when somebody's down and out and you know that they're not their regular self, instead of just letting them go, you know, hey, brother, hey, sister, I see that you're looking a little down. Now, is there anything that I can pray for you? Is there anything I can do for you? Instead of just sitting back and then did you see how they was? They act like they, you know what that's called? Gossip. Now, I know nobody in here gossips. But you know what? People say juicy gossip. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes, now what are you thinking, that next phrase I'm going to say? I'm going to leave that alone, let you think it. Amen, praise the Lord. Total commitment. Stoking up the fire, pray without ceasing. Whatever that what we need within us so that flame can continue to burn brightly. Pray without ceasing. Have a God consciousness all the time, every day, all day long. A God consciousness. Like I say, we can't go in our prayer closet every day, all day long. We got stuff we got to do. But we have to have a God consciousness. And ask God, God, when I'm wrong, please, please let me know it. Any kind of way you need to do it. Holy Spirit, I know you convict me, but sometimes we dismiss the conviction of the Holy Spirit, don't we? And we make excuses. Lord, whatever I need to get my attention to stop doing what's against you, do it. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. That's why so many people go through trials and tribulations and different things, because God has been trying to tell us to stop doing this or start doing this, and we just keep on doing it or don't do it. God said, all right, okay, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you because I love you. I'd leave you alone if I didn't love you. That's like our kids. When the kids, you know, they start acting up and doing stuff and be disobedient, and we don't say nothing to them, we don't have no consequences for them, how do they grow up? They're down there in the prisons and the jails, or they at the graveyard, because there was never no consequences for their action. I want God to get me. I want God to get me because I love Jesus. I'm not perfect. I got issues and struggles like everybody else. You know, I make wrong decisions and bad choices too. But I love Jesus. So I need to stoke up my fire all the time. I need to put in there what it takes for my flame to be hotter and brighter every day. Because I want to wake up every day and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's go today. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. What do you want me to do today, Lord? Every day, that's all I want to do. Now, once again, there's levels and steps of our maturity in Christ. But if you say you love Jesus, if you say that you want to walk a righteous and holy life, we need to keep that fire burning all the time, church. And let whatever's within us be burned up. Be burned up. And as he burns those things up out of us, every day, every day, every day, that's when holy and acceptable unto God. Lord, here I am. And once again, we're not going to be perfect. Not on this side of glory. But we can do better. We can do better. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to say, I can do better. I can do better. You know, something I have on my whiteboard, and it says, do better today. Do better today. Every day I wake up, I see that. Do better today. And I try to do better each and every day. But some days, you know, if I'm honest, yeah, it's more than a notion. So we need to do better, church. We have to do better, church, because he says, I'm coming back for a bride without spot and without wrinkle. I still got some wrinkles. Still got some spots. Amen. You know, but each and every day I want to get those spots out of me. I want to get those wrinkles out of me. And, you know, I did this here several years ago and I still got the thing of the iron here. I let the iron burn up on here. Anyway, I had a shirt and I had an iron here and I'd hold the shirt up and it had wrinkles. I said, now, in order to get those wrinkles out, what do I have to do? I got to put that hot iron on the shirt. How you think that shirt feel with that hot iron on it? Ooh, ooh, ooh. But after it goes through that heating process, that ironing process, when you pick that shirt up, oh, you can put it on and it don't have no wrinkles in it. It looks nice and presentable, right? And that's what we have to do every day, is we have to get those wrinkles out and get some spot remover. The word of God, devotion, studying his word, loving each other in spite of. Amen. Did everybody understand what I'm talking about here today? Let that fire on my altar never go out. When they played that last song, that blessed me. I said, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Because I didn't know what they was going to be singing. You know, I stay out of that. And when they sang that song, I was sitting in there and I just raised my hand. I said, thank you, Lord. You know, because when you get confirmation that you're walking in the ways of God, there's nothing better than that. When you know that you're walking in the way and you get confirmation for it, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, is this a God? You know, Lord, did I hear you right? Is, you know, all that. We know we're wishing and thinking and I don't know, and second guessing yourself and all of that type of stuff. But I tell you, when I walked out there, I had a confidence in me that I didn't have before I walked out. Because I want to be what God wants me to be, but I know I'm not always what God wants me to be. But this morning, I believe you heard, thus says the Lord. This morning, amen. So I hope that we have ears to hear what the Lord has to say to us this morning. And that when we walk out of here, that we will walk out of here knowing that we know that we know that we need to do better, that we can do better, that I will do better. Amen. Now, wanting to do better and should do better is good, but I will do better is the best. I will do better, Lord. Today, tonight, tomorrow, as long as you give me breath, Lord, I'm going to do better each and every day. You might want to write that on your mirror and stick it up on the wall somewhere where you can read it every day. Let's do better today. Amen. So if you're here this morning and your fire is not what it should be or what you want it to be, let's ask God this morning, stoke up my fire. Stoke it up, Lord. I know that it's not as hot as it should be, not as hot as it used to be. Because you know, when we first got saved, we was on fire. We was ablaze. We was on fire. We were ablaze. But as the days and the weeks and the years and the decade goes on, it starts getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So if you're here this morning and you want your fire to get stoked, that you want it to burn brighter and hotter, just raise your hand. Look at that. You see, I was going to ask you to get up and come down here, but I knew everybody needed to raise a hand. So praise the Lord. You know, and if somebody want to come down, you can. But everybody raise your hand, God will see what you've done here today. And what we're saying here today is, Lord, I want more of you. Whatever it takes, Lord, I want more of you. I'm not going to stop, Lord. I want more of you. And I'm going to ask you, praise the Lord, young man. This young man came to me here, what, about a week or two ago? He said, Pastor, I want to get baptized. You still want to get baptized, right?
Yes, sir.
So we're going to be doing, we got a date for it to be done. And you've been coming. And that's that start of burning that fire hotter. Amen. Have you ever yielded your life to Jesus for real? All right. Amen. Be honest, because God knows. So today is the day that your altar is going to be built. Today is the day is that fire going to start in your life, young man. Your life is going to be different and better from this day on. Amen. Give me your hand. Is anybody else that have not surrendered your life to Jesus? If you have never surrendered your life for real, you might have said a prayer. You might have come down here and said a prayer or something. But have your life been changed since then? If not, let me tell you something. You need to make sure that you get it right. Because when you stand before, remember I said, we're going to every idle deed and every word that we say, everything that we do, we're going to have to stand before Jesus for it with it. And if you come up in there tomorrow, oh, I go to church all the time and I pray the prayer. But if your life has not changed, let me tell you something. It has not been real. I'm going to be very honest with you. If your life has not changed since you yielded your life to Jesus, and I'm not saying be all holy and everything else, but I'm talking about a life change. Nobody who has ever met Jesus ever stayed the same. It might take you a while, like it did me. Took me a while. But thank God. Thank God. I'm not where I was, but this is where I am today. And I'm going to be down there in the future. So I'm going to ask you to kneel with me, young man. I'm going to ask you to pray with me, all right? And mean it with your heart. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Because everybody confess with their mouth. But to believe it in your heart is what's real. And I believe that you want what's real. I believe that. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come before you today.
I come before you today.
I confess. That I am a sinner.
That I am a sinner.
I'm asking you, Lord. To forgive me. Of all my sins.
Of all my sins.
And to cleanse me.
And to cleanse me.
From all unrighteousness.
Say that again.
From all unrighteousness.
From all unrighteousness.
I believe that Jesus Christ,
is
the Son of God.
Is the Son of God.
That He died on the cross.
That He died on
for
the
my
cross,
sins.
For my sins.
And shed His blood.
And shed His
for
blood,
my sins.
For my sins.
And He rose again.
And He rose again.
On that third day.
On that third day.
And He's seated in heaven.
And He's seated in heaven.
Next to our Heavenly Father.
Next to our Father.
This day.
This day.
This day.
This day.
I accept
this free gift
of salvation
by faith
in Jesus' name
amen.
Now help me up, brother. Get up. All right. notice what I called you, brother.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, you have been adopted into the family of God today if it has been real. So all these people are your brothers and your sisters. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This day is the best day that you could ever have. Amen. Do you have a Bible?
Yes.
You took a long time to say that.
Did I have to remember?
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, get into your Bible and start stoking up them flames. Amen. Start in the book of John. Start in the book of John. Don't start in Genesis. Start in the book of John. Amen. Read John and then go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke. And when you get to John again, keep on going to the epistles. Amen.
Okay.
All right. God, what's your name?
Tyree.
Tyree, everybody, this is our brother, Tyree. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. For the rest of us that's up here, and everybody raise your hand, we all want, you know, the fire to fall. We all want that from this day forward, that we're stoking up our fire. Amen. And we're not going to let the enemy quench it. We're not going to let anybody and anything quench what we're going to do here today. Amen. Father, I come before you today. Give me honor, glory, and praise. I thank you, Father God, for what you've done here again today. This miracle of Tyree, Father God. I just ask that you would just reveal yourself to him, that he knows that he knows that he knows that he has been adopted into the family of God. I pray, Father God, for the rest of us. From this day forward, we will take all the ashes out, oh Father God, and that our fire will grow hotter and hotter every day. That the fire of our altar will never go out. That the fire of our altar will never go out. From this day forward, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If anybody wants prayer.